Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
On the Emerging Podcast Scene, presented by Extend Technologies, why the lowly rated NBA Finals might actually be a good thing for the NBA.
And if you want to talk about ratings, one of the most underrated broadcasters ever. It's the Emerging Podcast Scene, presented by Extend Technologies on 92.3 The Fan Extra on the free Odyssey app.
The first 4 hours were simply an amuse-bouche.
I'm stuffed. I can't remember the last time I ate this much.
You sure you don't want no dessert?
Not for me.
I'm good.
Your table is now ready for Carmen and Lima's Emerging Podcast Scene.
We're brought to you by Extend Technologies, XTENDAV.com. Curveball time, you ready? You've talked about Mike Breen here twice during this NBA playoffs. Let me throw something by you here. Wrestling play-by-play announcers. Who's the most underrated? Who's the best and who's the most underrated in your history?
I mean, I grew up with what I thought to be by far the best, which was Gorilla Monsoon and Bobby the Brain. It's funny. For the longest time...
Jim Ross has got to be up there, right?
Well, eventually just became the guy, right? But yeah. He wasn't as polished. Jim Ross wasn't nearly as polished as Gorilla. Gorilla was just poetry. I think Jim Ross had more fun with it over time, more of a sense of humor, knew how to set everybody up.
Jim Ross made me mad at the wrestlers. Him calling Triple H an SOB over and over and over again and just hating Triple H for the dastardly things he did really made me hate Triple H.
Now, I have to say, I think underrated, well, I guess I'm not in the wrestling world, so I don't know how any of these things are properly rated.
Just ask.
But Vince McMahon.
Really?
I thought Vince was awesome. Vince knew how to, at times, get technical, so you'd learn the sport of wrestling, and then you could see it with his whole stage performance. He knew showmanship. He understood that as a broadcaster.
Oh, he's like Barnum and Bailey.
Oh, he was so good at, even though you kind of knew it was fake, he made it seem like it could be real.
Yeah.
And building up the storylines and knew when to do good cop, bad cop. He was actually really good at that.
Gorilla Monsoon is aged like a fine wine. Going back and watching, it's still incredible. I think him and Bobby the Brain, it goes without saying. Jim Ross and Jerry Lawler are fantastic. They're right up there. I think they're 1A. And then I would tell you, Gordon Sully was underrated.
Yeah, I remember
but
him.
I mean, though we're getting pretty technical. And, you know, Boyd Pierce and that type of thing. We're getting pretty technical on some
and
of the old
talked,
stuff.
We looked up Schiavone before, and didn't we find that he was working for a minor league team?
Which is interesting.
He's in AEW, and he has been since they came back.
There have been people.
Oh, I didn't even know that.
He was doing the Gwinnett Braves or whatever.
There have been people who've been pretty critical. Like, there's some wrestling people that I know of. They've been very critical of Tony Schiavone.
Okay.
Like, throughout his career, and I'm like, I like Tony Schiavone. I got no problem with Tony Schiavone. Say what?
Schiavone.
Yeah, let me tell you something, Schiavone.
But part of it is when you're young, so you gotta take it with a grain of salt. When I'm 10 years old, watching WCW, okay, and then, you know, wake up Saturday morning, the recap shows from WWE, where, who was the...
Livewire.
WWE?
No, that was Todd Gordon or whatever his name was who hosted it.
Who was the guy that used to say promotional, you know, paid for by the following?
Oh, that's Lord Alfred Hayes.
Yeah, so when you'd see all that.
Paid for by the following.
You just assumed all these guys were amazing. You didn't have a discerning taste on any of it. So if they had the job, you thought they were amazing.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, real quick. Michael Cole. Where does he stand for you?
Oh, yeah.
Some people are looking at him different, and I think a guy our age, I'm throwing my opinion out there before I got your opinion. I'm sorry. You go, and then I'll go. That's my fault.
Yeah,
I
never thought he was as good as the guys we've talked about, but he definitely, over time, before now, it's been merry-go-round of a lot of these guys. Now they bring in Joe Tessitore. They've had Ed Enverk. Yeah, didn't he do it? A lot of these guys they just brought in. Vic Joseph, that's right.
Close personal friend of ours.
Yeah.
So Michael Cole's interesting. There is a generational divide on Michael Cole.
Okay.
Guys younger than us like Michael Cole a whole lot more than guys in our age group. A whole lot more. Like, we're like, Michael Cole, he was a rat and replaced Jim Ross. We remember Stone Cold pouring beer all over him and all that other stuff. Plus, we remember him, like, when he was, like, a backstage guy.
Yes.
And he was, like, you know, it's weird because I remember who told the story. Lance Russell was another, unlike, for our generation, we wouldn't know Lance Russell as well as some other people would. But someone was telling me a story. I think it was, a story about Jim Cornette where either Jim Cornette or somebody ripped Lance Russell like in a promo, and they stopped it and said, don't be ripping Lance Russell. Like he's different from everybody else because he's the guy who presents the wrestling. So you can't rip the guy who presents the wrestling. And I know that that became part of the fodder for the WWE later on. Like Jim Ross became a quote unquote heel and stuff like that. But I thought for our generation, it's hard to take the guy behind the stage, behind the scenes, doing the backstage interviews, who The Rock is making fun of every single time, Triple H is making fun of, and then, okay, he's a lead play-by-play guy. Like, that's a difficult transition for guys who watched it when we were younger. But I think for younger people, they only know Michael Cole is the lead play-by-play guy.
What about Jonathan Coachman?
Nice in the background. Okay. Nice in the backstage interviews. Oh, you know another guy who gets a lot of hell, and I don't understand why. Larry Zbyszko, which I don't understand. I've liked the color analyst way more than you would think. Larry Zbyszko, Tenay was always fun. Mike Tenay, I thought was like this exalted knowledge of wrestling. When I was a kid, I never thought Larry Zbyszko, you could tell he was a wrestler.
Right.
Mike Tenay, there's nothing that says wrestling about Mike Tenay other than his knowledge of wrestling. Booker T has caught hell for his color analysis. I'm like, there was a spot where Booker T grabbed the mic and started clearing the ring and was doing play-by-play of him beating ass in the ring while he was doing it. He's holding a stick mic and beating everybody up and saying, oh, he's clearing the ring. And it was amazing. I was dying. I was like, this is great stuff. Why do people are very critical of some of these guys. I'm like, boy, this is good stuff. Earn that. You know, there's the typical, you don't want to leave anybody out, but at the same time, it's like you can only think. Guys who are not as...
Yet.
I'm sorry?
I haven't said my favorite yet. I'm going to let you keep guessing.
Oh, God. Who?
No.
Joey Styles.
Who's left?
I do like Joey Styles.
Paul Dangerously.
So. No. Mark Madden, of course.
Oh, my God. Well, I thought him more as a color analyst.
Exactly.
Or as a, you know, of...
When was he on? What did he do?
He was on WCW.
He's going to be on TNA again.
I saw that.
Yeah. Yeah, Mark Madden was on WCW, and there's a clip that's going around the internet. Owen has definitely saw it where... Mark Madden just gives up on whatever's going on in the ring. And he's like, this in his head, you can tell, he's like, this needs to stop. This is terrible. And he basically says it on the air. It's incredible. Yeah, Mark Madden was good, man. Mark Madden was good. Probably still is good. Probably still is going to be good there. All right, I just want to throw that back by you because you were talking about Mike Breen. Why are the NBA finals, this year's finals, watershed moment for the NBA, as you said.
So we knew the ratings were going to be bad. They have been. They've been really, really bad. Maybe if you get to a game seven, maybe that gets a nice pop, a nice rating. But still, obviously, this was going to be one of the lower rated NBA finals, and getting less than the World Series have in recent years. Like this is you would think a dark time for the NBA, but I actually think entirely differently now than I might have at the start. I now think this changes everything and can be really big for the NBA. A couple things. First of all, developing stars, right? You saw Jalen Williams go for 40 last night. He's young. He's incredible. He's an all-NBA player, and now people are getting to know him. And he has like a signature shot. He has this one-handed high-arching floater off the glass that he hit like four of those in the fourth quarter last night. It was incredible. Okay, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. You might not love the way he plays, but maybe you'll root against him. Either way, you're going to build some emotion when you have a guy that won MVP and now has a shot to win if Jalen Williams doesn't steal it.
Okay.
The NBA Finals MVP. Now you're invested. You have a reason to care about Oklahoma City so much more. The other side, and I think this is the bigger side, the Pacers. Okay, I don't think the Pacers are going to be like America's darling or anything like that. I quite frankly don't think they're good enough. Like, I don't think Tyrese Halliburton, you just roll out the ball to him and boom, they're going to be in the NBA Finals every year. I don't think he's good enough.
Okay.
And this sucks on the heels of that injury he suffered. It has nothing to do with that. He's just always going to be a player that gets other guys involved. So he's going to have huge games and then he'll have a bunch of games where he fades into the periphery while he's getting other guys involved. So it's not about the Pacers. It's about the fact that you had this Oklahoma City team that all the metrics show they're one of the great teams in NBA history. And they are going to win the title most likely. And yet the Pacers had a chance. This wasn't like, oh yeah, they weren't the winner of the East had no chance. Like, hey, that was great. Like in 2007, the Cavs won, but they had no chance against the San Antonio Spurs. No, not only did the Pacers have a chance, they should have been up 3-1 in this series. And yesterday, they played terrible for so much of the game. They're down 2 with 7 minutes left, despite that all-time performance, the 40-point performance from Jalen Williams. So what does that do? Here's why it's important. Next year, how many have said the East is wide open? So the first thing that's going to happen is, what did the Magic just do? They made a big trade.
Mm.
You finally had a player go from the West to the Eastern Conference, even if he's not an MVP candidate, not even an all-NBA player. We never see this. All the talent has continued to go out to the West. Finally, we've got a player that goes from the West to the East, and people are thinking this is just the tip of the iceberg. Now, more teams like Detroit, we talked with Danny Cunningham. Could Detroit pounce? Could they make a big play for somebody? I don't know who it would be. I mean, people have said, hey, could they go after Kevin Durant? Yeah, I don't necessarily think that's happening. But just the fact that they're even being mentioned. Okay, the Knicks. The Knicks don't really have a lot of assets to trade for anybody unless they want to trade some of the guys that they just traded for. Either way, the Knicks are going to feel like they have a shot next year to get to at least the Eastern Conference Finals. So not only do these teams think they can get there, they think once they get there, they could win. Because that's the way the NBA, the gauntlet of the playoffs now. So think about how hard it is to get through the playoffs healthy.
So it makes the NBA better altogether.
I think this is a pivotal moment where people realize there's parity now in the NBA that hadn't existed really in my whole life. When do you remember there being parity? It was always like, hey, there's four teams that can win it. That's it. And you know, it's either Kobe, Tim Duncan, you know, LeBron James, Dwayne Wade. Like, there's so few teams and players that you thought truly had a shot. And now every year there's a new winner. We're wondering what the new way of playing. Remember, going into the playoffs, like, all the teams play the same way. Wasn't the case in the playoffs. Like, these playoffs look like the old playoffs in a lot of ways. Physical, hard to get to the basket. There's rim protection, different lineups. You can go big, you can go small. It's not just jacking up threes. In fact, I'd argue Boston lost their series because they got too in love with just shooting threes, hunting mismatch shooting threes. It wasn't just a Tatum injury. They were going to go down 3-1 with the injury. So now this might not make the regular season all that interesting in terms of we've got to watch these regular season games. No, it's not what I'm saying. But I do think now you used to be able to say, well, all right, I'll have fun watching the regular season, but in the end, in the playoffs, there's only a few teams that can win. Now I honestly say there's a bunch of teams that think they can win. Add to the fact there could be injuries around any turn, and it just opens up everything. So I would argue, like in the Western Conference, I think Denver now thinks they got a shot again. Like, I do. You saw Denver take this team to the max. Like, I think Denver thinks that they can win the championship again. I think you're noticing just the way the teams are tinkering. You can start adding them up, and it's more than I can remember.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Remember, going into next season. Everybody's saying that Oklahoma City is just going to be this dynasty, but that second apron, I mean, they might lose Lu Dort. And think about how big Lu Dort has been.
Will this curtail tanking naturally? Shouldn't it?
Boy, teams are not getting rewarded with the tanking at all. And teams continue to do it. The odds aren't even that great
There's
anymore.
No sweepstakes for a player anymore.
Yeah.
When's the last sweepstakes there was? Zion? Zion hasn't been in the league that
long.
Well,
Wemby. I mean...
Wemby.
But that's the thing.
God, I forget about Wemby.
You got no build-up to Wemby.
It's more luck than anything, though. What'd you say, Owen?
You got no build-up to Wemby. Zion, we all got to watch college basketball.
Yeah, Wemby, the build-up
except for
was...
when he blew out his shoe, but...
Yeah, Wemby, the only build-up was the diehards.
The games were on at 4 in the morning.
Yep. You're right, though. The tanking, you know, teams will still do it because if you don't have a shot to win... Like Utah,
yeah, but I mean, teams will absolutely still do it.
Yeah.
But I mean, less teams, fewer
Utah
teams
Utah has
will do
tanked
it.
For how many straight years? And finally, their GM just came out and said, all right, we're done. We're trying to win now. It's like, good luck. Good luck.
You can't just change your...
In the Western Conference, good luck. So I'm just really curious, like, especially if like Kevin Durant somehow got traded to the East.
Uh-huh.
Like, this gets really, really interesting again.
What do you think Kevin Durant cares about?
Boy,
does he care about winning a championship, another championship?
I don't know, because...
Does it consume him? Like LeBron, I do think that his... I don't think it consumes him anymore. I think that to win the bubble championship, his fourth, I thought that was a new thing for mm-hmm. him to fight and go for. I thought it revitalized him. You know, can I take another team, have them build around me, and go and win a championship? You know, that's part of the underlying argument for LeBron that we've always talked about off air. Like, okay, could Michael have gone to every team and had forced their hand to do these things? Probably, but he didn't test those waters. LeBron did, and it paid off. I don't think that he is consumed by championships anymore. How many guys, and this is another thing, and this is where the torch is being passed, how many guys are consumed by winning right now in the NBA that we know as fans? Donovan, we know, is consumed by winning.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Who else would you put into that category?
Jalen Brunson?
Jalen Brunson is consumed by winning.
That guy
absolutely.
Leaves it all on the floor every time.
Now, I think that if we started to talk, we'd get to about five guys who are probably number ones on their team that are consumed by winning.
Well, that's why Giannis is really interesting, because Giannis is top
three.
Do you
think he's consumed?
Well, he's top three or four every year winning the MVP. Mm-hmm. He has his championship, so it's not like he'll move heaven and earth and switch teams to just try to win one title so he can change his legacy.
Yeah.
Like, he's an interesting legacy because, like, he, aesthetically, I don't love watching Giannis play, but freak of nature, like, he's better to see in person because he's kind of like LeBron in a lot of stuff he can do. He's not as skilled as LeBron,
mm-hmm.
but he's as powerful, if not more. I mean, the fact that he averages 30 a game every year, no matter what, no jump shot, doesn't matter. Like, it's almost like a Shaquille O'Neal on the perimeter.
You know, I think I might just hit on something there. And maybe why there is a problem with the next face of the league. LeBron is not in a position to be obsessed anymore. You know, Tom Brady was obsessed till the very end.
Yes.
With winning a Super Bowl. I think Patrick Mahomes is very... He's in his prime. I think he's very championship-driven. You know that Josh Allen is... extremely championship-driven, obsessed with it. Lamar's obsessed. I think Joe Burrow's obsessed. But in the NBA, how many guys are truly obsessed? And I mean household names are truly obsessed with winning a championship. LeBron used to be. Steph used to be. Draymond, not the biggest star, but used to be, you know, in that ilk. I thought for a moment Kyrie was going to be that way, and then that went away.
Yeah.
Kevin
Other
Durant,
priorities.
Yeah, Kevin Durant, not anymore. Giannis, I'm not sure. Like, the guys who are in their prime now, Giannis, I'm not sure. Nikola, is Nikola Jokic obsessed with winning?
Well,
does it feel like he is?
So, I mean, every time I see him, I see him dominate.
We love winners,
different ways.
And we love people who insist on being winners, who are very competitive in our sports.
Yeah.
And if you don't feel that way, like, there's a lot about, don't get me wrong, there's a lot about Nikola Jokic that I very much respect, very greatly respect. But to be the face, like, Kobe would do anything to win.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Well, because MJ was a sociopath.
Yes.
You had this kid who grew up with some means and traveled around the world, and Kobe seemed to emulate that and almost copy it, where it's like, well, he was a sociopath. Now I have to get into character. And that's what it always felt to me when he was mm-hmm. really young. And then as he got older, he was that guy. He had morphed into that guy, was no longer playing a character.
Yeah. He couldn't. He became one of those characters, and then he couldn't shut it off.
Yeah. What about Luka? So Luka, he doesn't treat his body like you would think.
But
somebody
I wonder if there's.
But he does want to. When you watch him play, like, he wants to kill teams. He wants to kill players. Wants to kill referees.
I think that there's something there. How old is Luka now? I think there's another chapter to him. I'm waiting for him to make that turn. I think a summer with LeBron. I think a summer with LeBron could change Luka.
Well, if it's
and maybe be face of the league change Luka, like,
LeBron.
Oh my God, this guy is a killer, and this guy you got to watch out because he's with a very serious franchise. I know we love to throw that term around.
Luka's 26.
Yeah, I know you would look at like Genie Buss and them and go, are you really serious? Okay, fair. But I think LeBron is a person that you get around and he shows you, you know, how to be that guy. And I know they tried. In Dallas, I think that they kind of embarrassed themselves in how they tried in Dallas with some of the stuff they tried to do to rein Luka in. I wouldn't be surprised if Luka showed up after the summer. I'd be surprised if he showed up heavy.
Oh, so you think this would be the change that he needs?
Yes, I think that this is the time where you're like, man, you're 26. You're going into this physical prime. You're working out with LeBron. While LeBron is not obsessed anymore, LeBron's not going to sit there and embarrass himself. At 40 plus years old, he still has, you know, he still has his pride. I just don't think he's. And by the way, I don't think Michael was obsessed at the end with Washington or anything like that. So let's not put that out there. Kobe seemed to be obsessed till the end. Credit where it's due. Maybe some people disagree. I think that this could be a watershed year for Luka Doncic, a watershed summer where he changes and then it sticks even more like, oh my God, LA's getting this Luka. That's serious in the off season as well as in the regular season. The beers are the beers. Maybe he's able to cut back on them, whatever. But he looks different. He may play a little bit different, a little bit better. His win might be a little bit better. And I think he might be able to take, he's got as good a chance as anybody to take that step that I thought Ja Morant was all about when he first started, and now he's lost. Zion, I question, but I think the fans wanted it worse than Zion.
I was thinking that could definitely be the case. I was thinking about this the other day with Ja Morant. Is there a better comparison in sports or maybe the NFL than Deshaun Watson? Like, came into the league. I mean, you instantly thought when Ja Morant was in the league, he was going to be a top 10 player
mm-hmm.
his entire career. Was making huge playoff swinging plays, huge fourth quarter. Was still working on the jump shot and all that. Like, he had a deficiency, but he just the athleticism obviously jumped off the screen, and he seemed to have like a clutch bone in him.
Yeah.
Was a fun, like, changed the culture there, changed the culture in a big way. And then just a few years later, like, afterthought, the off the field stuff, people questioning what his motivations are, how much he even really loves playing basketball. Is it mental with him?
And I'm surprised he got so lost so quickly.
It's incredible. Because that normally doesn't happen. When guys are that good, I guess maybe you'd say Ben Simmons. Ben Simmons wasn't even as good as
and
John
Morant. You mentioned the injury. He still has a chance.
Yeah,
like Deshaun, I really don't think has a chance anymore. I think that certainly John Morant has a chance. And I think it'd be a great tale of redemption. I don't think that he has the same problems as some other people have had in professional sports. I think he's done some goofy stuff, but I don't think that he's beyond reproach.
But immature stuff.
Or beyond redemption, I should say, that he could be able to come back and make a tremendous career out of this. And I don't want to give up on him just yet. This is an American star that can still be that way. But when I look at some of the other guys, Like, could Tyrese Halliburton? I know you laugh at it, but like, okay, I think he wants to win badly. I think he wants to shut up naysayers. I think that he wants to take his team that's never won a championship to a championship. I think Shea Gilgeous-Alexander, I've learned a lot about him in this finals. And I think that he's getting close to tasting the ultimate prize, and I don't think that he's going to just give up on that. But with a lot of players, I think that a lot of fans subconsciously question what they are. Because if you are still the most casual fan, casual fans respond to Mahomes and those guys being obsessed with winning. Casual fans just respond to obsessive winning. And guys who just, they have to have it. They have to be better than anybody else. And if they're not better, they're going to work their ass off and be obsessed with that notion, then become better. Casual fans don't respond to whatever this other stuff is, load management. I know that, hey, that's, I'm just throwing a term out there, you know, whatever it might be, where these guys, they claim to love basketball to an annoying level of like making love to the sport. And then when it's like, well, when you're in the ultimate chance, you're taking days off, you don't seem to like the game anymore. What's this out of love with basketball? What is all this? And so I think that leaves some fans at a crossroads. But I could be overthinking it. I could be overthinking it because of the youth, and maybe they think it a little differently as well.
I know we got to go. One quick difference there, I think, like between like the NFL per se and the NFL or the NBA, is that I do think there's a bunch of guys in the NBA who've made so much money, and their careers can be so much longer. If they're stars, their careers can be so much longer. And they just kind of stay in it, and their talent is so good, or their athleticism is so good, even if it wanes over time, that they can stick in the league without truly loving the sport of basketball. Man, the NFL, if you don't love the NFL, you put yourself at big risk.
Big personal risk.
So yeah. It's hard in that sport to go out there, not love the sport, and be able to stick longer than a few years. It's hard. So you are left with more guys in that sport, in the NFL.
It is.
That their passion for that sport is going to supersede everything.
It's the biggest brainwashing that anybody has to do. Because in the NBA, if you are that talented of a player, you know you are, and you could go out with a terrible team and go get your 28 a night without even thinking about it.
Yeah.
If you can shoot the bleep out of it. You can go out there and get your 24 to 28 a night, not win, and still get paid an unbelievable amount of money. I think that when guys come into the league, they definitely want the money. They also want to win. I think that there is a group of guys out there that over time is Iran to accuse De'Aaron Fox of such a thing? Like, hey man, you're gonna get your numbers, you're gonna get your points, but is it really more? The NBA does have those guys. I think baseball has some of those guys. Like Rafael Devers, were you really they're going to talk trash about him out the door. You and I knew about the first base situation, the DH thing because of them, you know, trading for the third baseman and Alex Bregman. Like, are you really, really willing to be that type of guy, or are you just happy to go out there, get your money and rake? Is that what you're doing? In football, it's just, you're running into each other. It's collisions. Yeah. It's very hard to just go out there and go through the motions.
And guys,
man,
will leave that sport on their own.
And when you see it, unlike anything else, we see it in the NBA. Some guys, you can tell if you're watching with a keen enough eye. And the best thing about social media, they'll show it. Baseball is really hard to do so. The NFL, man, I mean, I'll never forget Jamie Collins walking down the field. And we see those guys just kind of pull up. Business decisions.
Career earnings for Ben Simmons. Do you want to give it a go, Owen? Would you like to guess career earnings for Ben Simmons?
$148 million.
Who notoriously does not love basketball?
I was going to say 118.
Okay. And final answer from Ken.
$106 million.
He has made $200 million. And by all accounts, really doesn't like basketball that much.
Well, you know.
I don't like basketball either.
That's how you know there's God, man. That's how you know.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.